I want to encourage you to take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Romans chapter 15 this morning. Romans chapter 15. We're going to be going to several different verses of Scripture throughout this chapter this morning. I want to focus our attention on reading this morning, verses 14 through 21, and then we're going to be looking at other verses as we go through our message this morning. And the title of my message today is Three Questions for Our Local Church in Regard to Missions. You know, churches today send out questionnaires to missionaries. I think it's a good thing to do that. We have to be so careful today. It's sad that there are some that are out there that seek to get support and have no desire. We learned this week, not of a missionary, but of a man that was scamming the government. He had told them he was blind, and they had video of him coming in with one of those white sticks and so forth. But somebody took video of him in his boat going down the river by himself, navigating quite well with no stick, mind you. And so they turned the video footage over to the Social Security Administration, at which time they cut off his support. He was not blind after all. Sad to say, we've had some come through over the years that we've had to turn away because of the fact that they had established patterns because of references that we called, of not sticking to the stuff, of not actually conducting themselves. One missionary that we heard of was on Sunday morning. He had turned his Sunday morning services over to a national to preach while he was out racing his sailboat. And the mission board found out about it because it made it on the national television. He won the race. This was down in the British Virgin Islands. He won the race. He made it on television. While that particular time, whenever they found out when it happened, it was during morning worship service that he was out racing his boat. Needless to say, he got into serious trouble and was removed from the mission field. But there are those that are shysters, and we have to be careful. And so churches send out questionnaires for missionaries to fill out. But I have a questionnaire for us this morning. I want to read verses 14 through 21, and I want to take a look at three questions for our church today. And I myself, or in verse 14, also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister or the servant of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God this morning. We thank you for Romans chapter 15 that lays out in very clear detail the philosophy of missions and how we are to conduct ourselves and who we're to go out to reach with the gospel. And Lord, how we're to use our resources and how that we're to be a praying people. Lord, I pray that you might work in our hearts this morning as we consider these three questions concerning missions and the global outreach of this church. We pray, Father, that you would give us hearts to hear this morning the Word of God, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul, in this passage, identifies several lessons for local churches in regard to missions. I want to share some of these very quickly, and then we're going to get to the heart of our message concerning this questionnaire for you this morning. There are three desires for the church at Rome that Paul lays out in this passage. Number one, that the church in Rome might have a global outreach, that their outreach might go to unreached people groups. He said, I long to carry the message of the gospel, not where Jesus Christ is already named, but where he is not named. Have you ever heard of the 1040 window? Anybody that studies missions knows it's that 1040 latitude to 40 latitude north. That section of the world is where the least amount of people have taken the gospel. Where the majority of the people groups in the world live, and yet because of the nature of their cultures, because of their religions, the gospel of Jesus Christ is not named there, or if he is, it's in very small amounts. We seek and desire to help. One of the reasons that we went with International Partnership Ministries almost 24 years ago was because they were locating good fundamental nationals that needed help, that already knew the language, that were there in country, but needed to have a helping hand from American churches to help spur them on and be able to expand their works, to be able to get out and send out from their churches others. I think it has been one of the most blessed things because it was naming Christ in places where the name of Christ was not named. That's God's desire. Secondly, Paul desired that the Romans might give as the believers in Macedonia and Achaia out of a debt of love and gratitude for what God had done for them. We read about that in verses 25 through 29. That he had received an offering from Macedonia and Achaia. And he was going to take that offering to Jerusalem. He said, would you pray with me that the people in Jerusalem will receive that? By the way, they didn't ask the people at Jerusalem first if they could take up an offering for them. When they found out the need and the persecution that was there, they just gathered up what they could and they sent it with Paul. Would you take it to them? And Paul asked for prayer. He said, would you ask the Lord that the people in Jerusalem will receive this gift from those believers? And I want you, Romans, to involve yourself in giving as well. Number three, Paul desired that they might join in the struggle of missions by praying for him. And he listed three prayer requests. If you look at these verses here in verse 31 and verse 32, there are three prayer requests that Paul gives. Number one, that Paul might be rescued from those in Judea who refused to obey God, the Judaizers that were persecuting him and trying to block people from coming to the services. Remember those battles that are recorded in the book of Acts. And Paul says, would you pray that I'll have free course with the preaching of the gospel and that I would be rescued from those that would do me harm. Number two, that the believers in Jerusalem would be willing to accept the donations, as I already mentioned. And then number three, that Paul would be able to come to Rome on his way to Spain and be an encouragement to them. That was his desire. I'm on my way to Spain, but I'm going to stop off in Rome and I want to be an encouragement and blessing to you. Would you pray to that end that the Lord would give me safety and protection to be able to make it there? Now, I think it is important to realize that a globally significant local church must do three things. And we've talked about several things already, but I'm just kind of narrowing this down. Three things, and then I'm going to ask you three questions in regard to these three things. Number one, have a vision outside of the four walls of this building. I'm thankful that God has raised up a group of people that love missions. I have no doubt in my heart and mind of the burden that you folks have for missions here at Grace Bible Church. To reach outside the four walls. Every time we've had a mission project, it's just been a thrill to my soul to see the giving. And it encourages the hearts of our missionaries. Some of them we don't support monthly, but we send them gifts quarterly. We'll send them a gift to help them out with different projects and so forth like that. And it's an encouragement. Why? Because you have a global mindset beyond the four walls of this church. There are a lot of churches that spend a lot of money on their facilities. I was reading just recently, someone had sent me and said, you won't believe this. A church had just finished a building project and they didn't like some aspects of the auditorium, so they decided to redesign it and spend another $13 million in redesigning what they had just done. They had just finished the project. Now, I know that buildings are necessary, but let me ask you something. Is that all the focus that we have is just right here? You know, we don't have to meet in a building. There are people gathered around this world right now. In some places, it's dark, and they're meeting with candlelight out in the woods somewhere, and they're having their meetings. What I've just described to you happens in Mexico. It happens in India. It happens in North Korea, where they don't have a building, but they still meet. Just because you don't have a building doesn't mean you don't have a church. Because you see, folks, the church is God's people. Do I hear an amen? And some people forget about that and they start focusing on buildings and so forth, and we have to have buildings. But I want to say something. That's not the main ingredient. We've got to reach out. There's a world that's going to hell, and we have the light. And we need to focus our attention on beaming that light out and getting that gospel out, and not focus the dollars inward, but what? Focus them outward. And that's why Paul said, I want you to struggle with me. This is the second point. I want you to struggle with me in prayer. Would you take up that role? It's not enough to send your dollars. You've got to pray as well. Oh, how we need that in the church today. Join in the struggle of missions. What is the struggle of missions? It's prayer. You see, God can do things that we cannot do. God can break down barriers in hearts that you and I cannot break down. We pray for folks. They've been on my prayer list. I've got a list of folks that I thank the Lord for the times that I can go on my prayer list and I say, God answered this prayer today. Boy, that's a joy. But there are some folks that have been on my prayer list for a long, long time. And you would just, if I could just go to them and just shake them up a little bit, maybe they would trust in Jesus Christ. No, I'm not the Holy Spirit. God can do things in hearts that we cannot do in answer to what? Prayer. Just getting alone with God. George Mueller, the great, great man of God that lived and produced numerous orphanages, had a prayer book that was found after he passed away. And in there was just nothing but lists and lists and lists and lists. Children, names, those that came to the orphanage, people that he prayed for. There was an uncle that was up near the front of the book. Now, this book was over 45 years old whenever they found it. Up in the front was an uncle that he had been praying for. It was just a little older than he was. His father had children way past George Mueller, and this was an uncle that was young at that time, and he had been praying for him after George Mueller passed away, and knowledge of that came to the uncle. He fell on his knees, and he confessed Christ. Came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. It took 40-something years of George Mueller's prayers, and just the mention of the fact that that uncle was on his prayer list was enough to tip the balance, and God was able to save that uncle. Now, let me tell you something, folks. Whenever we witness to people, we give them the gospel, we endeavor to point people to Christ. But these people need to be bathed in prayer, and that means you've got to take up the struggle. Number three, we need to mutually encourage each other and encourage those who seek to carry the gospel to foreign lands. We need to mutually encourage each other. And in that encouragement of each other, and I'm talking about encouraging each other in the realm of us being willing to go. Of our children. Are you willing to say goodbye to your children? Or maybe to your grandchildren? Do you pray in that regard? Lord, I want to encourage my grandchildren. I want them to volunteer to go and serve the Lord. Or do we have strings attached? I told you some months ago about a mother that struggled with that decision. She came up after the church service, after a preacher had preached on volunteering for Jesus, and she said, I just want you to know that I don't want my children going to some mission field. That I've worked too hard to support them and encourage them, and I want them to stay. I want to enjoy my children and my grandchildren. I want them here every Christmas. And she just went down the line. And the pastor said, have you noticed something in your conversation to me? How many times the little pronoun I has come up? I want this. I want that. I want them here at Christmas. I want them. I. Said, you don't know anything about missions. You don't know anything about what it means to serve the Lord because you have still put yourself in the number one place. She walked out the door. That night she came back to the service. A little bit different attitude. Her husband got a hold of her. Said, I happened to hear the conversation as I was standing near you, the pastor was getting kind of pointed. Was it about our kids and our grandkids? Yes. We got a problem, don't we, honey? Yes, we do. They got on their knees and got it settled. They came back to church that night. They went up to the pastor and they said, we were wrong. We, both husband and wife, we were wrong. We were wanting to keep them around us, and what we needed to realize was that God, they're never more close than when they're walking with the Lord. Now get that. They're never more close than when they're walking with the Lord. Isn't that what John said in 1 and 2 John? There's no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in what? Truth. Oh, we think, well, they can't be any more closer to ride with me. Oh, no. They're never more close than when they're walking with the Lord. Oh, that's the difference. Now, I've got three questions for you this morning. Has it ever dawned on you that there might be some requirement for a local church to meet in regard to missions? I want to give you a first question. What is the main requirement of a local church that genuinely wants to affect the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Now, some people think that a large mission budget is a requirement. Of course, money is necessary, but that is not the main requirement. Now, maybe that's a shocker for some people, but that's not the main requirement. Others may think that you need a growing missionary family. There are preachers that write about the hundreds of missionaries that they support at $10 apiece. All right? What impact are they having? Listen, I'd rather have a handful of missionaries that you can help than to have hundreds and hundreds that you're sending $5 and $10 and $20 to. That's not accomplishing very much. And then demand that they come back and report about the $20 a month that you're sending to them, you know, with all kinds of stuff. I don't get that myself. But I want to say this. That's not the main requirement, is a large missionary family. There are some people that think that a global awareness is what is the main ingredient. We got to have a global awareness. Well, that may be true, but that's not the main ingredient. What is the main ingredient? I want you to look with me at verse 5 of Romans chapter 15. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. You want to know what the main ingredient, I believe, is? There must be a unity of purpose in the local church in regard to its outreach. I'm so thankful that we have that kind of spirit and attitude. I've been involved with our missions committee now for over 20 years, and I want to tell you, we've never had a fuss and an argument or a fight, or I don't think that's what we ought to do. There's just what we pray about. We seek the Lord's face. When we consider missionaries, all right, we're going to meet again in several weeks. I want you to be praying about what we should do, whether we should give. There's been times where we felt like this wasn't the direction that we ought to go, and there was unity and harmony in that. I thank the Lord for that. There needs to be a unity of purpose in a local church in regard to its outreach. There was tension in the Church of Rome. I want to bring this out this morning. There were many Jews that had migrated to Rome. Why? Because of the persecution that was taking place in Jerusalem. Many of them had fled. They all gathered back over. Remember the Philemon's servant? Where did he end up? Well, he fled, he left, and he went over to Rome. Rome was a cosmopolitan area. Rome was the mixing pot, right? The melting pot of all the different peoples of the world, and everybody had their own community. It was like going to Chicago or New York. Everybody got little Italy, you've got little Jerusalem, you've got little China, you've got all these different places, and different groups meet together in those areas, and there was some camaraderie and so forth. Well, that was Rome. And there was tension there because of the Jews, tension about Gentile outreach. This Paul's talking about reaching out to the Gentiles. He's a Jew. What is he doing that for? There was tension there about Jewish people reaching out to Gentile people. The Jews tended to be clannish. But if you notice in verses 7 through 13 of our passage, Paul puts this all in perspective, and that the gospel is not just for the Jews, it is for also what other group? The Gentiles, beginning of verse 7. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ, was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written, "For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name." And again he saith, "Rejoice ye Gentiles with His people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud Him, all ye people." Verse 12. And again, Isaiah saith, "There shall be a root out of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him shall the Gentiles trust." And then finally, verse 13, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." You know what Paul quotes there? He quotes from four Old Testament passages that says that the gospel's to go out from the Jews to the Gentiles. You're to reach out to the Gentiles, that they might trust in Jesus Christ as well. There should be a unity of purpose in regard to several things, but especially prayer. If you give money and not prayer, you are only sending missionaries to defeat. Can I say that again? If you give money and not prayer, you are only sending missionaries to defeat, to come back home and to lose in their global outreach. Why? Because you're not holding the rope. You're not holding the rope. You're not investing personally. You're not going beyond just the money and the offering, but you're not going on to sacrificial prayer in their behalf, to become an intercessor. You know what the Lord said to Ezekiel? "Is there not a man that will stand in the gap?" You know what He's looking for? Looking for people to stand in the gap in regard to prayer. Prayer is the secret, the key, the main thing. If we are a local church and we're not unified in praying for our missionaries, only giving money, then we are not empowering our gifts of money for those in need of the gospel. Do you want to empower those dollars? How do we do that? How do we take a dollar bill and empower it for the work of the Lord? You pray. You pray. Well, that's very simplistic, Pastor Brainerd. Amen. I thank God for the simple truths of God's Word. I feel sorry for eggheads that get in there and they start debating, and they don't understand the Trinity. And they, well, neither does anybody else. And they'll debate all of these theological issues, and there's things to write about, and there's good in that. But I want to tell you something. God appeals to the simple. "Children, unless ye come as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, it doesn't say there, unless you come with a PhD, unless you come with a master's degree, I'll consider you if you're really smart. Okay? If you're really intelligent, I'll let you come on in. No! Except you come as little. Why? They're unsophisticated. They haven't developed webs of deceit. They're just simple. They're trusting. And that's what God desires. He wants us to trust in Him. This unity of purpose in regard to prayer can only come about if you can get past your unbiblical biases. What do the Jews have to get past? I gotta reach out to a Gentile? Yes. That's what Paul was saying. Get past your biases. You know, there's still biases. I'm not into all this racial, the stuff that's going on today, but I want to tell you, there's some people, bless their hearts, they haven't got past. If they found out that a missionary is going to a certain country that they don't like the people there, they won't give their dollars. "I won't support a missionary that's going there." Well, why not? Not from this church, but a pastor was telling me about, they had a person that was desiring to go to South America. And they said, "I'm not giving my dollars. I don't give my dollars to CITCO because of that ruler down there in Bolivia. And I'm not going to give my dollars to some missionary to go down there to talk to him either." Why don't you get saved first? And then we'll come talk. I don't believe a person can actually love God and have that kind of a heart if they don't want to reach out to those. We've got to get past our biases. Isn't it interesting that the missionary is usually the only full-time Christian worker that gives out a prayer card? Do we not need to pray for our teachers? Do we not need to pray for? But it's become ingrained in us to collect prayer cards. All right? I remember going to Mission Prayer Band at Bob Jones, and I collected prayer cards. They would come in and say, we got our new prayer cards for this missionary. I collected them and I'd keep them, but you know what I didn't do always? You go through those prayer cards and pray for them. You know, you can collect them, but if you aren't praying for them, there's not a whole lot that can be done. You're not empowering them. You're not encouraging them. Many local churches are in missions to be respectable, not to bring the gospel to those who are in need. Let me just kind of give you an illustration of this. Maybe you're a little overweight. I shouldn't bring that up, I'm sure, because we're fixing to eat here in just a few moments. But maybe you're a little bit overweight, and you've decided you're going to run this year in the Boston Marathon. You've got your special bombing suit in case another one decides to go off. You're ready to run. All right? So you go out there and you run 26 miles. Come in dead last. Last one. It took you 10 hours to run the Boston Marathon. All right? Then you come back home to Milton. I ran in the Boston Marathon. Newspaper coverage. Press Gazette comes out to take a picture. Okay? In your special little outfit that you ran in with your big number on there, okay? I ran in the Boston Marathon. What place did you come in? Well, I came in last place, but it's not about the placing right here. It's about running, all right? And you talk about the Boston Marathon. This is what I'm saying by this illustration. This is where we are, I'm afraid, with missions today. We give the missions. Isn't that nice? We participated. We all got a little placard with our number on it. Missions participant. Kind of like we do at Yak at the end of the season. Okay? The little kids come up there and we always have to call out the last place team first, you know. Sometimes I change it up, but usually it's the last place. 0 and 14. And they come up, you know, and they come up there and those kids don't know that they came in last place. You little preteers, all they care about is were snacks served during the season. Okay? But they get that trophy, and to see those kids, when you hand them that little trophy and their certificate, they don't care anything about the certificate. They like that trophy. And they pick that up, and then invariably somebody goes and drops it on the concrete. And they come back, universal language for, I want another trophy. Okay? And boy, they're just as big, they're just as proud. They don't know that they didn't win a ball game all season long. But what they do know, is they got a snack and they got a trophy. And I've just described the church today when it comes to missions. We got our snack and we got our trophy. But we haven't labored in prayer. This is the main ingredient. This is the requirement, folks. You thought it was going to be to give, perhaps. But it's to pray. What's the main requirement? Prayer. Number two. What should be the reach of our church who desire to further missions? What should be the reach? Very quickly, look at verse 19. Through many signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Illyricum is present-day Yugoslavia. So from Jerusalem all the way to what we call Yugoslavia today, which is much smaller now than it used to be because of the breakup of the Soviet Union. It's interesting, I went on to our State Department website to find out what the statistics were for religion for Yugoslavia. Mostly Muslim today. Less than 1% Christian. Does Yugoslavia need the gospel? They sure do. They need the gospel. I could list for you dozens and dozens of countries from the breakup of the Soviet Union that are desperate for the gospel. But you know what the fastest growing religion is in those countries? Islam. Islam. They're embracing it. They're taking it in. They like the structure of the militant nature of it. They like the structure. They like being told what to do. Why? They came out of the Soviet Union. That's what their whole life has been. That's the closest thing to it. And so they accept it. Paul says in verse 23, there are more places for him to reach. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you. What is he doing? He said, I'm fixing to leave for Spain. One more country. Now, it would all end at Rome for Paul. The letter to whom he was writing, the people there, that would become his home in his last days, and that's where he would give his life. But his desire was to carry the gospel beyond. And you and I have to have a beyond to other areas. We need to think about that. You don't have to just give to the mission program of this church, and I'm glad that you do. There are people in our church that give to other missionaries. I'm thankful for that. That have a spirit say, you know what, I want to give. The church is not doing that, but I want to give personally. Praise the Lord, you've got a vision. You've got a vision. You want to reach out beyond. I want to move to the last question very quickly. What is the primary reason we should be involved in a global outreach of missions to lost and dying sinners? What is the primary reason? Look at verse 9 of our passage here. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. The human need is great. There is no question that the majority of those living in this world are imperiled in poverty and great difficulty. But that is not the main reason for missions. That is not the main reason. I know that the eye affects the heart. And when you see suffering depicted in the media, in third world countries, your heart goes out to them. The children, the women, the people that are suffering, and the elderly that are suffering in these countries. But what is the main purpose of mission? That the Gentiles might glorify God. That's it. That the Gentiles might glorify God. We must have our God as the reason we do what we do in missions. Paul said, the love of Christ constrains us. Jesus said to Peter over a fire of coals in John 21, Simon, lovest thou me more than these? And then what was the statement that followed? Feed my sheep. Carry the word of God. Until we see that it is God's glory that we reach out beyond the local church, that's what we're concerned about, is God's glory, then we'll have the attitude of giving of our time, giving of our money, giving of our time to pray for our missionaries. We'll have that understanding because we know and understand that it is the glory of God that is at stake. The first and most consuming reason for missions has to be the glory of God and not just about man's need of a Savior. That is true. Man does need the Savior. But what's more important, that God get the glory? Because you know what happens many times? Is we start handing out cards and having them sign and said, all right, now you're in the kingdom of God, and they're not in the kingdom of God. It becomes all about man and feeling good about man and not about the glory of God. Let me ask you something further. How did we do on the questionnaire this morning? On the three questions? That is up to you and I to decide today. I hope we have shed some light on why we are having this special day to collect our faith promises for this year. The glory of God is at stake. Let us reach out beyond ourselves by faith and seek to tell others of the saving grace of our precious Savior. We've talked about a global outreach, but you know what? Before you can get out there, you got to start here. All right? Before you can think about out there and praying for those people that are out, you ought to be praying for them, but I want to tell you, are you praying for your neighbors? Are you talking to them? Have you taken time to go up to them and share with them a testimony of Jesus Christ? That's the mission field. If you're not sowing in your mission field, it's very unlikely that you will have any sowing to do outside of your mission field. We've got to sow everywhere. The good news of Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time together today. We thank you for your precious word. Lord, we've covered a lot of things in a little bit of time. But I pray, Father, that we might have an understanding of our role, that we, the reason that we give, the reason that we pray for our missionaries, the reason that we seek to know more about their labors, is that we want you to be glorified. That's the big picture. So many times we focus simply on the need of man, which is great, no question about that. But there is another need that's greater than that, and that's the glory of God. Lord, I pray that that would be our motive this morning. Lord, I pray as we enter into this year in our missions program that you would teach us to be sensitive toward our missionaries. Lord, may we be concerned about them, to email them, to pick up the phone and call them, and to let them know we're praying for them. It doesn't take a lot of money to do that. to send a text and say, I'm remembering you today in prayer. Just wanted to let you know. Oh, how that means so much to our missionaries. We'll send out thousands of texts to family and friends about the least little things, but our missionaries often get forgotten. We don't think about them. We don't think about their children. We don't think about their needs. We don't think about their financial obligations. They've got to pay their monthly bills too. Father, I pray that you would give us a global awareness of your glory and the reaching out of the gospel to these foreign countries through missionaries called of thee to go. And I pray that we might be a giving people and that we would be a praying people, that we might hold the ropes for our missionaries. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for Romans 15. What a glorious passage it is that opens our understanding of what missions is all about. A carrying forth of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles so that they might glorify and honor and magnify the name of Jesus Christ. Father, help us to understand these truths, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.